ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ So JD, next week, remind me to teach you this song on the guitar. That'll be the thing we'll study next week, this song. And then when you learn it well, you can play in with me in the class. Okay? Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Wait a second, I gotta do something here. There's somebody on the internet, Hari Bol Jason, very nice. He just made a nice comment. Very good, Jason. All right. Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vannachari Jamuna Tira Vannachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Jasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vannachari Jamuna Tira Vannachari So now we will begin the translations to chapter 7 and I very much like the fact that I can give class and look at Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. So first there's an excerpt from one of the purports to begin. Srila Prabhupada says, In the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul, capable of elevating him or herself, to self-realization by different types of yogas. At the end of the sixth chapter, it has been clearly stated that the steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, or in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest form of yoga. So I want all of you to go to that final verse of chapter 6 and read out loud the translation. It's the end of chapter 6. When you're all ready, you'll do it together. The last translation of text of 6. You ready? 1, 2, 3, go. You did that perfectly. You did that perfectly. Jai. Let's continue. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one is able to know the absolute truth completely, but not otherwise. Impersonal Brahma Jyoti, or localized Paramatma realization, is imperfect knowledge of the absolute truth because it is partial. Full and scientific knowledge is Krishna, and everything is revealed to the person in Krishna consciousness. Incomplete Krishna consciousness, one knows that Krishna is ultimate knowledge beyond any doubts. Different types of yoga are only stepping stones on the path of Krishna consciousness. One who takes directly to Krishna consciousness automatically knows about Brahma Jyoti and Paramatma in full. And by practice of Krishna consciousness yoga, one can know everything in full, namely the absolute truth, the living entities and material nature, and their manifestations with paraphernalia. One should therefore begin yoga practice as directed in the last verse of this sixth chapter, which we all read, right? Which, by the way, is also one of the top 25 verses in the Bhagavad Gita, according to me. So take it with a grain of salt. Concentration of the mind upon Krishna, the Supreme, is made possible by prescribed devotional service in 9 forms, of which Shravanam is the first and most important, which you're doing right now. You are hearing, are you not? The Lord therefore says to Arjuna, touch Srinu, hear from me. No one can be a greater authority than Krishna, and therefore by hearing from him, one receives the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna conscious person. One has therefore to learn from Krishna directly or from a pure devotee of Krishna and not from a non-devotee upstart puffed up with academic education. One more excerpt. I think you figured out that this is from the first verse purport, haven't you? Some of you are following along, so that's good. You found out where I got this. In this seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the nature of Krishna consciousness is fully described. Krishna is full in all opulences, and how he manifests such opulences is described herein. Also, 4 kinds of fortunate persons who become attached to Krishna and 4 kinds of unfortunate persons who never take to Krishna are described in this chapter. So, usually in the beginning of the chapter and at the end of the chapter, Prabhupada will give good summarizations of the subject matter. So now let's look at chapter 7. 30 verses, knowledge of the absolute. Verses 1 through 3 I entitle, knowing Krishna. You can say along with me, follow along. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Number 2, I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Number 3, out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So that perfection that Krishna is referring to is identification with the Supreme. Perfection means to fully realize that I'm not this body, that I am eternal spirit soul. Perfection means to actually transcend the modes of nature. Now, someone can do that simply by impersonal realization. Then, higher than that, is somebody who has realized Paramatma within the heart, Krishna within the heart. But here Krishna says, hardly one knows me in truth. That's the devotee, the pure devotee. So we should therefore conclude that to actually be a self-realized Krishna conscious devotee is very, very special and rare. It's not ordinary. First of all, in the world, how many people are striving for this kind of perfection, to understand that they're spirit soul? Not that many. Then out of those, how many of them are devotees trying to approach Krishna? So those are very, very rare. Very rare. Let us continue. Verses 4 through 6. Understanding the two energies of Krishna. Number 4. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these 8 constitute my separated material energies. 2 things here. False ego. False ego implies that there is true ego. There would be no need for false ego if that was the only ego that existed. So there has to be true ego. True ego is what I just explained. You understand that you're soul, that you are Brahman, that you are spirit, that you're not the body. The devotee's definition of ego, I am Krishna's eternal servant. That's real ego. That's what I am. Nothing more, nothing less. False ego, I'm a man. I'm a woman. I'm a teacher. I'm a Brahmin. I'm a president. I'm a basketball player. These are all false. I'm husband. I'm wife. This is all false ego. It's temporary. It's designation. My real identity, I am simply Krishna's part and parcel servant. That's real ego. And the next thing, separated. In other words, these are energies of Krishna, but he's not personally involved with this. It says separated. For instance, this is Prabhupada's example. Here I have my tape recorder here. And Prabhupada used to record in a dictaphone when he wrote his books, like Bhagavatam. Prabhupada would use a dictaphone, and then the devotees would listen to what Prabhupada said and then type it out. That's how you have all the books. Prabhupada did actually write some, but most of his books, Prabhupada used the dictaphone machine, and the devotees, his disciples, typed it out and made it into books. So Prabhupada said, the way to understand separated energies, Prabhupada said, originally I spoke it, but now it's on the tape recorder, and whenever you push the button, it plays back. So the material energy is like that. Krishna one time did something, and now, like a machine, it acts in a certain way. Let's continue. So that the title of this section was the two kinds of energies. So that's the first one, separated material energies. How many were there? No, 8 material. Now the second one. Let's go together. Besides these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mine which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. There's a lot here in this verse. So first of all, superior energy. So of the two, this one is superior. And what is it? The living entities. Therefore, as you should have learned in the very first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, which is where? Where do you get the first lessons of Bhagavad Gita from Krishna? In chapter? No. Krishna only says one thing in chapter 1. Behold, Partha, the Kurus. That's all Krishna. So where? 2. Krishna begins his instructions in chapter 2 when Arjuna says, I surrender. Oh, when he surrenders, then, oh, so now you're ready, Arjuna? Okay. Now you're ready. I'll begin. Okay? So yes, it begins in chapter 2. And the first lesson, you're not the body. That's the first lesson. Can't go further until that's settled. No, don't. Radha and Krishna and Rasa, no. First, you're not the body, right? So, superior energy. So at least from Krishna's perspective, he makes a distinction. Some people don't make a distinction. They make no distinction between spiritual and material. They say, oh, it's the same. Krishna makes a distinction, superior. And that's not just Prabhupada. That's what Krishna says. He uses the word param, superior. Yes, you have a question? Oh, okay. Which comprises the living entities. So the living entity is not material. You are spiritual. Okay? Now, in the word for words to that verse, we're in verse number 5. In the synonyms, find the word dharyate. It's very important. Find the word dharyate. Do you find it? What does Prabhupada give as the definition? Very good. He gives 2 definitions. Utilize and exploit. Based on that, this is how I preach. The word utilize and exploit, 2 different connotations. Utilize has a positive connotation. Exploit has a negative. When something is exploited, it's not a good thing to exploit. Nobody wants to be exploited. That nobody wants to feel like they're exploited. But utilized, people don't mind being utilized. So why the 2 definitions? Here's why. The non-devotees, they're not using this material world for Krishna. They're using it for me. The non-devotee is dealing with the material energy and is manipulating, using it, lording it over, right? And like cats and dogs, no, this is for me. The oil belongs to America. And then we fight. No, the oil belongs to somebody else, or food, or some people say in the future, the next war will be over water. You've read that. That's a big thing. Some corporations are trying to buy out the water. And what will they do? Oh, you want water? It'll now cost you $800 per gallon. Demons! That's what demons do. They hoard it, lord it, and then exploit you. Isn't that what the gasoline companies are doing? What do? They're very clever. We'll just jack it up a few pennies. Click, click. Then the next day, let's jack it up a little bit. Now gasoline is $4 a gallon. It used to be 20 cents. Back in the 60s, gasoline was 20, 30 cents a gallon. Now $4. And don't think it's going to stop there. Because as Mr. Bhushasura said, we're addicted to oral. He's right. Can't live without it. And they know that. They can charge any price, and we will have to pay. Oh, please give us our oil, please. So exploiting the demons, the non-devotees are using Krishna's energies for exploitation. Devotees, on the other hand, use Krishna's energy to serve him. That is the true purpose of this material energy. Its real purpose is to liberate you. That's its real purpose. See, there are two purposes to this material creation. Those who want to go to hell, Krishna says, fine. Exploit my energy. With my blessings, you go to hell. Devotees, Krishna says, use my energy and get liberated. So therefore, the devotees utilize the non-devotees' exploit, whether it be the guitar or a microphone or a car or anything. The devotees utilize it to serve Krishna. We're not using these things to exploit. All right, let's go on. And again, this material inferior nature. The material energy is inferior. Let's go on, number six. All created beings have their source in these two natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. So here Krishna is explaining how he is God, how he is the Supreme. They're his energies, not mine, not Mr. Obama's, not any, but it's God's energy. Everything belongs to God. That's one of the key lessons of Bhagavad Gita. Everything belongs to God. Now, verses 7 through 11 is entitled, As Pearls Are Strung on a Thread. Here's number 7. I said earlier, one of the main verses of Bhagavad Gita. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. Now you'd be surprised. This verse is very clear, is it not? Right? You'd be surprised how many people read this verse and then say, but. There is no but. This is Krishna's supreme position. There's no truth superior to me, which includes Balaram. What to speak of all the other Vishnu avatars? What to speak of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahmana, all the demigods? No truth superior to me. There's no wiggle room here. There's no buts, ands, or ifs. This is it. Krishna is superior. That's it. If you can accept that, you can understand Bhagavad Gita. If you don't accept this, your understanding of Bhagavad Gita will be defective. So this is a key verse. As pearls are strung on a thread, just like here, this flower garland. These flowers exist on here only because of the string. Your neck beads, same way. It's on a string. When a woman wears a pearl necklace, the pearls look nice, but if that string is broke, everything falls on the ground. So everything resting upon Krishna, that's the only reason why anything is existing. And when Krishna says no more, looks like what happened in Japan. Krishna decided, you know what? They need a wake-up call. Therefore, Krishna sends earthquake, tsunami. That's Krishna saying, hello, wake up, Jeev Jago. And we shouldn't be puffed up because our wake-up call is tomorrow or the day after. So we had better be ready when the wake-up call comes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. I don't want to scare anybody unnecessarily. Text number 8. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras, and I'm the sound in ether and ability in man. Ability in man. This means nobody should be puffed up. Because it's not that I'm doing this. All these athletes, right? They're so proud of, no. Krishna is giving you the ability, and at any moment, it can be taken away. We're not independent. So even as a devotee, you go on book distribution? You do? Yeah. So some days, you'll be distributing books, and everyone is taking. The next day, you'll do the same routine. Nobody takes a book. You know Bhrigupati. You go out with Bhrigupati? He's told me that so many times. One day he's going out. He doesn't have enough arms to distribute the books. The next day he's pulling out his seeker. Nobody's taking a book. That's Krishna showing him, I am the actual doer. He's the actual doer. But the person in false ego thinks, I did it. I got nobody to thank but myself. I did it. The great Nirant. And then Krishna says, oh, really? Number 9. I am the original fragrance of the earth. I am the heat in fire. And I'm the life of all that lives. And I am the penances of all ascetics. O son of Pritha, know that I am the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of the intelligent, and the prowess of all powerful men. I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. And I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles, O Lord of the Bharatas, Arjuna. Now, some people read this verse and say, see, Krishna says, I am sex life. So just have sex because Krishna is saying, I am sex life. Is that the meaning of this verse? No. What is the meaning of this verse? So what is that sex life which is not contrary to religious principles? Prabhupada explains that. Sex life for procreation. That sex life Krishna is. Not anything else. Anything else is called sinful sex, illicit sex. But sex life for the purpose of procreation, that is permitted. Let's go on now. Verses 12 through 14, the insurmountable material energy. Number 12, know that all states of being, be they of goodness, passion, or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they, on the contrary, are within me. So here, once again, Krishna is signifying his unique position. This is very important. His position is unique. Everything is Krishna's energy, and at the same time, he's independent. He's detached. He's separate. And he is not under the modes of nature. You and me, we are trying to become free from the modes of nature. That's the whole purpose of bhakti yoga, of self-realization, to become free from the modes of nature. Whereas Krishna always is free from the modes of nature. That's the difference. The difference between us and God, even God comes to this material world, he's still free from the modes of nature. Not like us. We're trying to get free, whereas he is always free. Text number 13. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, The whole world does not know me, whom am above the modes and inexhaustible. Number 14, one of the big ones I mentioned. Number 14. Number 14, in my opinion, is one of the top 10 Bhagavad Gita verses. It's a good one to memorize. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So in the synonyms, the word durakyaya, how does he translate durakyaya?
Very difficult to overcome.
Very difficult. In other translations, in other places where he quotes this verse, he sometimes uses the word insurmountable. So earlier in this chapter, the material energy was defined by another word. What was that word? Earlier in this chapter, the material energy was, what adjective was used? Inferior. Right? Remember we read that. This inferior, right? Now he says it's divine. Huh? It should pose a question. Earlier in verses 4 and 5, he described the material energy as inferior. Here he's saying it's divine. So how to understand it? Here's how to understand it. For us, it's the inferior energy, but at the same time, we can't overcome it. From Krishna's perspective, since it's one of his energies, it's divine, but it's still inferior to the spiritual nature, the spiritual energy, the living entity. Didn't we read that? That this other energy was the living entity. All right, so the divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes, is difficult to overcome. And all of us know that. You get hungry. If you don't sleep good, then you get cranky, especially as I'm getting older. You get cranky, right? Toothache. So many things are happening with the material. Just ask the people in Japan. They're right now grappling with this material energy. Very difficult when that tidal wave comes, when the earth is shaking, try overcoming that one. No place to go. So, Krishna says here, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So, that's why this verse is one of the most important. Just surrender to Krishna, which is the conclusion, the most important verse of the Bhagavad Gita, surrender to Krishna. So we should all, let us all immediately surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right. Verses 15 through 19, the surrendering process. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, the lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. So obviously that's not us, because we have surrendered to Krishna. But believe it or not, there are people in this world, you may even know one, who is grossly foolish or the lowest of human beings, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, or who partake of the atheistic nature of demons. I've come across many of those. Could even be in your own family. It's possible. Could be in your workplace. But at some point or other, you are going to be face to face with one of these miscreants. How will you fare? Simple. Be meek and humble, and don't be disturbed, because Krishna will protect you. The first time I went out on book distribution, in the summer of 1973, in New York City, on the subways, after just a little bit of time, I felt something very sharp in my back. And the guy said, "Give me your money." He either had a gun or a knife. So I was with another devotee. And so I asked the devotee, "What do I do now?" "Chant Hare Krishna." "Hare Krishna!" And the guy ran away. So I have firm faith. When all else fails, just chant, just surrender to Krishna. Hare, I was so loud. You know how I have a loud voice. When I was younger, it was even louder. And there I was in that subway station. The guy ran away. Text number 16. O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and one who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. So either you're one, two, you could be more than one. For me, I was definitely distressed, and the second, I was definitely searching for the Absolute. But all you need is one reason to go to Krishna. Anyone gets you there. Desire of wealth, that would be Dhruva. Dhruva approached Krishna for wealth. But what happened in the end? When he got his wealth, he condemned it. When Krishna appeared to him, and Krishna said, "Yes, I am going to give you immense wealth. You will rule the world for 36,000 years. Not only that, for 36,000 years, your senses will not get old." That's how you enjoy. You can't enjoy when you're an old man. There's nothing left to enjoy with. He was going to rule the world for 36,000 years with youthful senses. Then after that, he gets his own spiritual planet. Win-win. He got it all, jackpot. And when Krishna left, he kicked himself. He condemned himself. "What an idiot I was. I should have worshipped the Lord just for him, not for this silly kingdom." He actually condemned himself. Let us continue. Number 17. Of these, the one who is in full knowledge and is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best. For I am very dear to him, and he is dear to me. This is the reciprocal nature of Krishna consciousness. It's not one way. As you begin to love Krishna, Krishna begins to love you. And you will begin to perceive that in your life. It's not that you have to wait till you die. No. You will be, little by little, you will see Krishna's reciprocation in your life. Number 18. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but one who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, one is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal. So, Krishna here says, I consider to be just like my own self. Here's how Lord Chaitanya explains this. Lord Chaitanya told Sanatan Goswami that when the devotee takes initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, at that time, Krishna considers that person as good as himself. So meditate on that. Krishna considers that person as good as himself. Number 19, one of the big ones, one of the top 25 verses. After many births and deaths, one who was actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Remember in verse 3, we studied out of many, right? Only some strive for perfection. And out of those who have actually achieved perfection, hardly one knows me. Remember verse number 3? Look at here. After many births and deaths, one surrenders. So if you've surrendered to Krishna, it hasn't happened overnight. Many births and deaths surrenders unto Krishna. Such a great soul is very rare. All right, we'll stop here. Next week, we'll finish this chapter because it's time for RT. So we'll pick up from here next week. Same time, same station. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.